This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Let's go over to Alec Murtaugh. The new documentary is out on Netflix. I have binged a good chunk of it thus far. Some interesting statements being made. Curtis Eddie Smith, this is the buddy of his who went out, and it's alleged that he was going to try and kill him in an attempted suicide attempt or murder attempt that went completely awry. When asked on the documentary why you would go along with something like this, he said that Alec said to him, because they're going to be able to prove that I'm responsible for Maggie and Paul. That's what Murtaugh allegedly said to Eddie Smith when he asked, why do you want me to kill you? Eddie says he did not pull the trigger. He said none of that happened. He said that Alec actually fell onto the gravel when Eddie did have a gun on him, but was not aimed at him. It was trying to scare Alec into calming down about what he was saying, and that's how he was injured. It was never a gunshot wound. What's your take on this? Eddie has been kind of all over the place a bit on this since day number one. It's hard to know what exactly to take for gospel here or not.
Well, you know, he's not the most credible witness for the reasons you just said,
yeah.
But his explanation just makes so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of in the OJ trial, you know, when OJ gets in the white Bronco and is driven all over, right? It's their moment of realization that sort of I'm nabbed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did this, and it's their moment of sort of their come to Jesus moment, if you will, with themselves that, wow, I'm going to have to answer for this, and a moment of sort of panic. And I saw that analogous to this, to Alec Murtaugh just saying, I'm busted. I'm done. They're going to pin this on me. They're going to be able to prove this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can survive in prison in
yep.
that life. And so I think it was, you know, a spontaneous and emotional response to him knowing he was nabbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of sense. So even though he's not the best witness, I do believe that statement.
Yeah, the story, when it's told in its entirety, does actually, you kind of believe it. You go, well, that actually does make some sense there, Eddie. Maybe that is what happened. We'll obviously never really know for sure, but of all the stories that we have, this one seems to make a little more logical sense as compared to the other ones that Alec has put out there over the course of the last year or two. Alec's defense team has submitted some new evidence to the court as of Monday as they keep pushing for that new trial. Attorneys tracked down Timothy Stone, according to some new court documents, the creator of a post that they believe led to the unfair dismissal of a juror in the murder trial. The argument is that the Tim Stone is not the ex of a juror, as was claimed by the clerk of courts in getting this individual dismissed. It was just a generic Tim Stone. There's a lot of Tim Stones out there. No connection at all. Where do you think this is going here with the accusations against the clerk of court, and how serious and legitimate they very well could be in regards to the behavior during the Alec Murtaugh trial?
In regard to the clerk of courts,
yeah,
and the decision and thought process of the juror that was dismissed, it's going to depend on what she truly believed at that time. Did she do some research, and was her thoughts that there was truly a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
If there was, then there's nothing that would be malicious in her intent. But did she do a haphazard job of, you know, looking at their relationship? If they're truly not related,
yeah,
that's what it's going to come down to, is what was her intent. And if it wasn't malicious, I don't think they're going to have an issue with that.
But the thing is, a juror was removed and changed in this. That could have been a juror that could have hung this. It could have been a juror that influenced other jurors to vote another way. And he was dismissed under a tense, whether it was intentional or not, that there was some sort of, you know, attempted influence going on with him, even though this person was not related whatsoever. I mean, even if she did not do her due diligence, and it turns out this was just her overreacting and making assumptions, that still could have, and likely did in some way, shape, or form, influence the jury in some way, shape, or form accident or not, that still feels to me like it could end up being a mistrial.
It could, but I think her issues with statements made to these jurors is so much of a bigger issue for her.
Yes.
That's really the huckleberry, if you will. Now they're just starting to throw, you know, your stuff on the fire at this point, kindling on the fire, because their big case that they make, I think, is very much at issue. And, you know, there's going to be a huge investigation on it, and all those jurors need to be interviewed. Not, to me, not even interviewed. They need to raise their hand and give statements under oath as to what really happened. But aside from that, you know, it looks so bad that they're, you know, just finding issue after issue in terms of her job and how she reacted and decisions she was responsible for. And this is just another one of those. But I do think that it's going to come down to if it was intentional or just horrible malfeasance in terms of due diligence.
A lot of times we look at this case or any case where there's a very evil-like person playing the lead role and wonder, how was this person made? Where does this person come from? And we just learned, actually, in the part two on the Netflix Murdaugh series, Paul's girlfriend talking about life with the Murdaughs. She dated Paul for about 4 years prior to his death. And he says, or she says, that when she met the Murdaughs, one of the family members talked about some antics of Grandpa Murdaugh, Randolph. This is Alec's dad, talking about his wife, who wanted a divorce at the time, allegedly, according to Paul's former girlfriend. And what did Randolph do? He put an obituary in the Hampton County Guardian under her name as a scare tactic, allegedly, to kind of keep her, you know, quote unquote, in line, I guess, so to speak. When someone comes from an environment like this, that was a little piece that I thought, well, this really explains a lot about Alec Murdaugh.
Well, you know, the old saying, and I believe it strongly, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree is just so true. It's not always true, because people can be, you know, fringe players that have an issue happen or get caught up in drug addiction or other things, right? Mm-hmm. That make them not really in keeping with how they were raised.
Sure.
But Tony, how often have you seen, whether it doesn't matter what the crime is, if you're talking about individuals who participate in incest, it goes on and on for generations. Or if you're talking about, you know, individuals that participate in child abuse, it's just like this never ending cycle. Alcoholism, I could go on and on, right?
Yeah.
You look up and you look at the parents and you look at the lineage and you see the same sort of, you know, deviant behaviors that are passed on generationally. Yeah. And they mimic, right? Getting away with stuff, using intimidation. So am I surprised? Not in the least.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.